is like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land, and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
God bless you. I'd like to welcome you to the School of Grace, and thank you for taking the journey together as we have sought to discover what grace truly means from a biblical standpoint. A lot of people have a very limited understanding of grace, and for them, grace is just the inner enablement that we receive from the Lord to enable us to go through all kinds of situations in life. But we have seen and established that the grace of God is much, much more than that. It's omnipotent benevolence, the kindness of the Almighty God. And because it is the kindness of the Almighty God, then any benefit, any blessing can issue out of that kindness to meet our every need, whether it is forgiveness of sins, answers to our prayers, whatever it is that we need, God's kindness and power will much, much more than supply. And then as we find more and more of such grace, imagine that somebody has omnipotent benevolence working on your behalf in increasing measures. You will reign in life because the kindness and the power of the Almighty God resting upon your life will guarantee victory. It does not mean that there will not be problems or issues will not arise. I mean, when a king is reigning, there may be a coup against him, but he crushes the coup and continues to reign. So reigning in life means that there might be scorpions and serpents along the road, but you trample on them on your path of destiny as you are heading to what God has ordained and planned for your life. Remember that we have also seen manifestations of grace, possibilities of grace, the cripple at the king's table. And if you missed any of those, you can find the full recordings at our website, eternityministries.org, when you check at the School of Grace section. So it's important to keep these truths perpetually in mind. Look, grace is the secret of the entire Christian life. I personally believe that the primary duty, the primary responsibility of the Christian life is the pursuit of grace. It's the pursuit of grace because it is the grace that makes the entire Christian life possible. It is grace by grace that we are saved. So it is as we tap this multi-dimensional, multi-faceted grace with all of its great possibilities available to us, that we walk in victory. This is just the truth. You see, the quantity of grace that each of us carry is directly proportional to our pursuit of grace. And it is the level of grace that you carry and enjoy that determines your level of operation in your walk with God. This is the truth. Well, we saw in Acts of the Apostles that it was with great power that the apostles gave testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because great grace was upon them. The great power was not arbitrary. It issued out of the great grace that rested on them. So great grace is equal to great power. Average grace, or O-level grace, ordinary level grace, equals to survival. But great grace will bring great power. And then remember, in our last studies, we began to see, and we actually studied in detail, the sources of grace. Because you see, I realized that we say to people, God's grace. Oh, bro, God's grace. Oh, my sister. Hi, God's grace to you. But you see, grace does not just come by somebody simply wishing you God's grace. Grace comes from the means of grace. The Bible establishes the means of grace. And the level of grace that we enjoy, the level of grace that we carry and manifest, is determined by what we do with the means of grace. This is so important. I believe that the biggest challenge of most believers today, and what is responsible for what I call the subscriptural lives of many believers. What do I mean by subscriptural? A life that is below what the Word of God promises. A life that is below how we see believers in the New Testament. You see, the life of the apostles in the New Testament was not designed to be exceptional. It was designed to be the life of every child of God. Because what Jesus did for every apostle, he did for every believer. But many of us believers are living subscriptural lives. And I hate it. I hate a life that is beneath and below what the Word of God promises. I don't want that kind of life. If the book is true, let it manifest in my life. And the reason why it is not manifesting in the lives of many believers is because they are not tapping, they are not collecting, they are not downloading the grace that makes the biblical life, the New Testament victorious life, possible. Believers are famishing for their lack, for their absence from the throne of grace. I said Christians are famishing because of their absence from the throne of grace. If you are not present at the throne of grace, where will you collect grace? Now, if you don't collect grace and receive mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need, your need will overwhelm you. Your need will overwhelm you, will shock you. You will look helpless. Not because you are helpless, but because you did not go to where you could collect help in your time of need. May God give us the wisdom to pursue grace. Look, I have made up my mind to seek grace. And God has, poured grace upon my life, but I'm looking for more grace. The reason is because we glorify God by collecting and manifesting more grace. We become channels of grace. Blessed be God forevermore. So the 10 sources of grace which we encountered, the God of all grace, Jesus, the living Word, and all of those sources of grace, they are the means and the avenues where we find grace. And now that now brings us to the matter of tapping grace. So practically now, how do we tap grace? And let me just say this. Anybody who is too big or too busy to seek grace is in danger of falling into disgrace. Anybody who is too big, you're too big or you are too busy to look for grace, you are in danger of running into disgrace. The reason is because this is not a curse. Of course, I will not do such a thing. I'm just emphasizing the overwhelming importance of a continual quest for grace. We cannot be too busy to collect the grace that sustains us and to fellowship with the grace by which all our needs are met. That is foolishness. We are no longer wise if we are doing that. So there is no other source of sustenance or blessing apart from grace. Until we are helped by grace, we have not been helped at all. Until we are helped by grace, we have not been helped at all. If the grace of God does not help us, from where will we find help? So we must tap grace. And there are several factors that are very important in our quest for grace. Remember that we have pointed out that you have the general variety of grace, what I call passive grace. You don't need to pray. You don't need to read your Bible. You don't need to fast. The rain falls, sun shines on people. We breathe in air. All of this is grace. But the kind of grace that we need to reign in life is the grace that you have to tap. You have to collect it. The Bible says in Romans 5:17 that all those who receive, the word is lambano. That's the Greek word there. And it's not just to wait for something to fall on your lap. Lambano means to take, actively to take. In other words, it's like you have access, but you have to take. You have to take what has been given to you by using the access that you have been given. So if you don't use your access, you will not be able to collect what has been given to you. This is the thing that many believers need to understand. You have been given, but basically what you have been given is access to collect. And when somebody has given you access to collect, he has given you. I mean, if somebody gave you the key to the store where food is kept and he says, I've given you food. He has given you food. But don't forget that you are just holding the key. So what must you do? You must now take the key and open the store and then take the food that you need to eat, the cereal or whatever it is you need, you know, to have a meal. So God has given us access to overflowing grace, to all the dimensions of grace that we find. The Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus, of his fullness we receive, we lambano, we take grace upon grace upon grace. Look, God has given Jesus to the world. But why is everybody not saved? Because everybody is not taking. They are not taking the forgiveness of sins that Jesus paid for. They are not taking the healing for which Jesus carried the stripes. They are not taking the name of Jesus in their warfare against the devil. So this is the wisdom that God is bringing to us, that we must be people that tap grace. We must seek actively to receive more and more grace. As the days are getting more evil, the Bible commands us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because grace is the antidote. Grace is the antidote to every wile of hell. The more grace we find, the more we will walk in victory. So there are certain factors that are important in our tapping grace. If we don't finish it now, we are going to continue in our next segment of week 9. Now, the first one is the capacity of vessels. You see, if the character and the size of the vessel will determine how much grace it can contain without breaking or leaking. You see, the size and the character of the vessel. If somebody comes with a bucket, you will receive bucket-sized grace. But if somebody comes with a tanker, he's going to collect tanker-sized grace because the source is unlimited. It's like, imagine that we went to the Atlantic Ocean to get water and somebody came with a teaspoon. Somebody else came with a tanker. And then another person came with a pipe. So now, you see, the person that came with the teaspoon or with a bucket will collect something because the ocean is there. But the person that came with a tanker will also collect something. A friend of mine told me a story years ago. He said there was this servant of God who was going to come to preach the gospel in their place. And as they were praying and preparing for this program, he said he had a revelation. And the Lord said to him, he said, get ready. The tanker is coming. Get ready. The tanker is coming. So you see, God was describing the size, the capacity of the man of God that was coming. And he's telling this dear brother, prepare to receive something. Somebody with a tanker is on his way to this place. This is not your regular, usual kind of program. The tanker is coming. Oh, that when I go to preach, God will speak to people and say, the tanker is coming. Get ready. A man that has collected much, that has downloaded much from the throne of grace, he's on his way. And out of his own fullness, you also can collect. You see, the plan of God is that just like out of the fullness of grace that is in Christ, we receive grace. Also, the more closely we walk with Christ, out of our own fullness, other people will receive grace. This is the life I want you to pursue. Not just where you find enough for yourself, but where out of your own fullness, out of your abundance, other people receive grace. We find a picture of this in, first of all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then we also see something like that in Joshua chapter 19, verses 1 to 9. Joshua 19, verses 1 to 9. It's a passage of scripture that I encourage you to study. You see, in Joshua 19, and a few of the earlier chapters, Joshua began to divide the inheritance to the children of Israel. And in chapter 19 from verses 1 to 9, we now read about the inheritance of the tribe of Judah. And you can't believe what the Bible said there. In fact, that scripture shocked me. He said the inheritance of Judah was so large that another tribe, the tribe of Simeon, they got their own inheritance within the inheritance of the tribe of Judah. Because the inheritance of the tribe of Judah was so large, Simeon could receive an unfettered, complete, comprehensive inheritance inside the inheritance of Judah, and he was not cheated. Can you imagine a whole tribe receiving an inheritance inside the inheritance of another tribe? And don't forget that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That is the life to which we are called. A life of supernatural enlargement in the grace of God, where we receive such an abundance that out of our abundance, out of the abundance of truth in our lives, out of the abundance of power, the anointing flowing in us, out of the abundance of financial blessing in our lives, other people begin to tap abundance. Not just survival. Can you imagine people receiving not just peanuts and not just survival? Can you imagine people receiving abundance out of your abundance? Oh God, raise a church of an abundance of grace, overflowing grace, where other people are receiving an abundance out of our abundance, an abundance of truth, an abundance of revelation, an abundance of insight, an abundance of power, an abundance of revelation, of direction. Do you an abundance of peace? Do you know that you can be so loaded with virtue that people will be tapping from you? Look at our Lord Jesus Christ. People, we are drawing virtue out of the overflow of virtue in his life. I want to be like the master. And the key to it, even in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, was the boundless grace, the fullness of grace that was pouring in and through his life. So the capacity is important. That's why the Bible says, you know, one of the things that God gave to Solomon was that God enlarged his heart. The Bible says God gave to Solomon largeness of heart. Largeness of heart. A massive capacity for wisdom. Capacity to think thoughts that will not come into the minds of ordinary level people. Capacity to do projects. Capacity to receive visions and possibilities. Father, give to every one of us in this school of grace enlargement of our hearts. I rebuke every smallness, every narrowness. Leave now in the name of Jesus. Father, let there be a lengthening of the cords, a strengthening of the stakes, an enlargement of our tents and territories, even inside our hearts, before they manifest physically. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, God must enlarge your capacity inside. External enlargement is consequent upon inner enlargement. If there is no enlargement of the heart, and then you enlarge somebody's territory, the territory will eventually shrink to the size of the person's heart. We must become bigger inside before we get bigger outside. That is the divine protocol. So the capacity of our hearts is very important. And don't forget that as we tap grace, we are tapping all the different possibilities of grace. The next key in our quest for grace, tapping grace, is discovery. You see, until we see the importance of grace, we don't pursue something that is not important. It is our revelation of our need of grace and the absolute impossibility of succeeding in time and eternity without grace that drives us to the throne of grace. If we don't see our need, we are not going to look for anything. Are you following the matter here now? If we are not thoroughly persuaded of the possibilities of grace and our need for grace and our hopelessness apart from grace, our failures apart from grace. If this is not clear to us, we will not be driven to the pursuit of grace. So please keep this in mind. We must remember the lessons of grace. People that are dependent on grace cannot be independent. It's impossible, because if we don't get grace from the presence of God and from the word of his grace, how will we be sustained? The next factor we see is hunger and thirst. In Luke chapter 1 verse 53, we read, "He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty-handed." Hunger. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. They will be filled. They will be satisfied. If we feel that we have enough, that is a mark of narrowness. But the more we are hungry, the more our capacities are enlarged, and the more grace we can tap from the throne of grace. The next thing that is crucial is our application to the means of grace. The level of grace we enjoy and impart to other people is directly dependent on what we do with the sources of grace. You see, we outline 10 sources of grace. There may be more, like I said. So the more we apply ourselves, the throne of grace, for instance, the more I go to the throne of grace, the more grace I collect. The more time I spend with the word of his grace, the more grace I find. Do you know that faith is something we tap out of the word? The more, you said faith, so then faith comes by hearing. Now, if you tap faith out of the word of God, now that is the faith that overcomes the world. Don't forget, he said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Even our faith. So the more we use the means of grace, the more we collect the things that make the triumphant life possible. But what if you don't spend time with the word of grace? You will not tap grace. You will not find. Look, a child of God, I want you to listen to me. This thing I'm sharing with you is more than a message. It's a burden in my heart. The more I study this matter, the more I can see why the church is where the church is. And you can see how we are very different from the New Testament church, because they refuse to compromise the means of grace. They said, we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. So you see, the great grace that the apostles enjoyed and manifested was not arbitrary. It was not because they were apostles. It was not because they were the first century church. It was because of what they did with the means of grace. If you remember, when that matter came up and the issue of, you know, the widows that were being, shortchanged, the Hellenistic, you know, Greek-speaking widows that were of the Jews that were being shortchanged by the Hebraic Jews, you know, in the administration of benefits, you know, and food and stuff like that. When that matter came up, the apostles called the people and they said, look, it is not correct for us to leave the word of God and then start doing just administration and be serving tables. He said, no, we are not doing that. He said, select 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit, who we can assign to this responsibility. But we ourselves, we will give ourselves to the ministry. He said, to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We will give ourselves to the sources of grace. We will donate ourselves to prayer. We will donate ourselves to the word of God. We are not going to be distracted, because we know that if we abandon the throne of grace, the place of prayer, and we abandon the word of God, this whole revival will soon dry up, and we are not going to do that. This thing is important. So we are going to select some brethren who will focus on it. Even they themselves must also be full of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace. Do you see the way they think? Look, all the things that happened in Acts of the Apostles were manifestations of great grace. Everything that happened in Acts of the Apostles
was a manifestation of great grace. Don't forget this statement. And the more we find such grace, the more we experience New Testament Christianity. The more we find the kind of grace they found, which is available to us, to which we have been given access, the more we find and lambano and take and receive and download and collect such grace, the more we will see the same manifestations and the same kind of things that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles and in the entire New Testament. Because in the life of Jesus, it was grace at work. The Holy Spirit that was operating through the Lord, it was the Spirit of grace. Don't forget that. He's the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. So, the more we do, these statements are of overwhelming importance for the triumphant life. What we do, if you look at those apostles, they prayed in Acts chapter 1, they prayed in chapter 2, they prayed in chapter 3. The Bible said the word of God grew and multiplied. They committed to places of grace. They met together. Remember, they connected with people of grace. They were in fellowship with the Spirit of grace. They performed acts of grace. They had an attitude of grace. So it was all of these means of grace that determined the level of grace that these brethren enjoyed and manifested. Oh God, give us your wisdom and help us in this matter. God has told us where to find grace. He has given us grace. And he has told us where to find it and how to find it. And he has given us the access. He has told us those that we find grace. So it means that if we don't find grace, then it's not God's fault. Because he wants to pour this overflowing grace that guarantees the triumphant life upon our lives. Blessed be God forevermore. In Jesus' name. This now brings me to the principle of measure. The principle of measure. Now, the principle of measure is also similar to the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping simply says, if you sow sparingly, you can read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 and Galatians 6 and verse 7. It said, if you sow sparingly, you are going to reap sparingly. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap from the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap from the Spirit. Now, the principle of measure simply says that it is the measure. The Lord Jesus taught this principle when he was talking about not judging people. And he also taught it about when he was talking about, how we receive the word of God. Listen to Mark chapter 4, Mark 4 from 24 to 25. And he said to them, be careful what you're hearing. I'm reading the Amplified here. Be careful what you're hearing. The measure you give will be the measure that comes back to you. So now, listen to how the Amplified amplifies this scripture. It says, the measure of thought and study. You see, you're hearing something. But the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. So you see, Jesus said, you know, you're hearing. Be careful what you're hearing. The measure, in other words, what you will get out of what you're hearing will be determined by the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth you hear. So let's assume that you hear the truth about grace, and then you give a little measure of thought and study to the truth about grace. Then the measure you are going to get in return will be little. It's not because that was all you could get. It's because that was the measure that you applied. You see, God blesses, but God blesses according to the measure of your engagement with the word of God. You see, this idea, and a lot of believers, I'm so sorry to say, they are not diligent with the things of God. If believers will apply a measure of diligence to the things of God, the same kind of diligence they apply in their professions, in their work, in their businesses. Can you imagine applying the same measure to the word of God, to the presence of God, to the pursuit of grace? to acts of grace, applying the same kind of diligence, what you will get out of the word of God will shock you. You will receive astonishing, astounding testimonies and blessings. You will unlock new levels of possibilities in your walk with God if you will increase your measure. Now, some say, Prophet, you know, the favor of God. Listen to me. Favor does not cancel the law of measures. Assuming somebody wanted to favor you and he said, come to my house. You know, with this lockdown, there is, you know, the lot of pressure on a lot of people. And the person said, oh, look, I have food in my house. I have a lot of things. Just come and take. And then you came with a small measure. You came with a small container. The amount you can take, the person has given you favor by giving you access. But what you can collect will be determined by the measure with which you that you brought to take. So imagine that somebody else came with a truck to the house of abundance to collect from the access that was given to him by favor. The person will receive more. You too, you will receive because you were favored. Don't forget that. But your capacity, your measure has limited your benefit from boundless favor. So the favor of God rests on every believer, but the measure that you bring to the table of favor. Oh God, deliver us from this foolishness of bringing small measures to the table of abundant favor. Oh God, deliver us from this foolishness of bringing a small measure to the table of favor. Oh Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, deliver us from this foolishness of bringing a small measure to the table of boundless favor. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, deliver your church, Father, from the foolishness, Father, from the smallness of our hearts. Oh, Father, from our narrowness that brings a limited measure to take and to collect from the table of boundless favor. Oh, Father, send the revival of an enlargement of our hearts. Increase the measure, Father, of your church. Increase the capacity of your ministers. Increase, oh God, the hunger of our hearts. Father, deliver us, Father, from this satanic foolishness of bringing small measures to the table of favor. Father, in the name of Jesus, do a miracle for me. Do a miracle for my brothers and sisters in this school of grace. Do a miracle for your end time church. Oh God, that has access, Father, to your boundless supply, to your boundless abundance. And Lord, we live like paupers. We live like paupers. We are operating at survival when we have access to your boundless abundance. Oh God, Prato Kitsotaria, pour out your spirit upon us, oh God, and drive us to the throne of grace. Drive us to the throne of grace. Father, drive us to the throne of grace. Draw us. Change our hearts. Give us break our spirits, oh God. Bring brokenness to our hearts. Cause us to realize our need, oh God. Cause us to realize our need, that we may seek you, that we may wait on you, that we may humble ourselves, oh God, oh, at the throne of grace, so that we may find the grace that we need, Father, for this dangerous generation. Father, can you imagine your church facing the perilous times, Father, with suboptimal grace, with minimal grace? We are facing a dangerous generation. Father, deliver us. Help us, oh God, Father, draw us to the means of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, change our hearts, oh God. Make us hungry inside. Take away our foolish self-sufficiency. Deliver us, Father, from this stupid independence that makes us, Father, to stay away from the place of grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, gracious Father. Oh, thank you, blessed Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you. My brothers and sisters of the school of grace, I charge you to look for grace. You will reign in life. You will reign in life. Reject this subscriptural life. reject it, hate it with passion, and stay in the presence of God, and stay with the word of God until you experience the same manifestations, the same life. Everything they had in the New Testament belongs to us in the New Testament. I said everything they had in the New Testament, in the Bible, belongs to the church in this new covenant. Because we belong to the same covenant. We are members of the same testament. Why should our lives be different? And why should we live in survival when they lived in triumph? The difference was grace. And you are learning how to tap grace in this school of grace. And your life will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Of the sea.